Welcome to episode 504 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Ephesians 1 verses 7 to 11. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things to him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Part of God's wisdom was to reveal or make known to believers the mystery of his will. Paul uses the word mystery more in Ephesians than anywhere else in Scripture. This concept is often misunderstood. Paul's focus is not on some mystical or self-contradictory approach, but simply on something which had been unknown in the past. In this case, a mystery of the past has now been revealed, with Gentiles coming to faith through the coming and resurrection of Christ. This revealed mystery is also according to his purpose. Paul had already referred to purpose in Ephesians 1 verse 5, and will mention it again in Ephesians 1 verse 11. In Ephesians 3 verse 11, Paul talks about God's eternal purpose. God's purpose referred to in Ephesians 3 verse 9 was set forth in Christ. It was not of human creation or wisdom. Only God could design and implement such an amazing, well-orchestrated plan to bring forth his plans and ultimately bring greater glory to himself. In verse 11, Paul speaks specifically about an inheritance. An inheritance was of great importance in ancient society. Most people were in the same trade as their parents and had little or no upward mobility regarding careers. A wealthy inheritance was greatly desired. What inheritance did Paul have in mind? The believer's inheritance is twofold. First, it means becoming a child of God. This gives us the right to expect an inheritance. Second, we gain eternity with the Lord, dwelling in his righteousness for all time. Paul took great confidence in knowing that God works out all things for the good of those who believe in him. This was based both upon the overall teaching of Scripture as well as Paul's personal life experiences. He had endured much hardship as well as joy, knowing God would care for his needs in any and every circumstance. Paul's intent here is to point out how it was Jews who were the first to accept the gospel according to the plan of God and for his glory. Unfortunately, most of Israel rejected Jesus as the Messiah. As a result, the gospel was spread to the Gentiles who share in the same inheritance. God chose before creation to save us. That salvation came at a great cost, the death of Jesus Christ. As children of God, we can be confident that God will give us what he has promised, namely an eternity with him in heaven. That is our inheritance. And now as heirs, knowing what lies ahead of us, we're to live as those who belong to God. What are some other passages of Scripture that speak to us as those who belong to God, those who have an eternal inheritance? We explore eight such passages. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has plans for us. Plans more wonderful and more fulfilling than anything we can dream up for ourselves. Our job is to surrender ourselves to his will so that we can enjoy those plans. Colossians 2 verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. When we are baptized, we bury the sinful life, and we are raised just as Christ was to live the new life that he died to secure for us. Ephesians 1 verse 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Paul describes three things that took place in the lives of Ephesian believers. First, they heard the gospel, known as the word of truth. Second, rather than rejecting the message as many Jews had done, these Gentile believers both heard and believed the gospel and were saved as a result. Third, Paul noted that when they became believers, they were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. A seal was a mark indicating a letter or scroll was closed or completed. When a king or other dignitary wanted to show an identifying mark with a letter, he would seal it with a resin imprint of his ring. The Holy Spirit likewise shows that believers belong to the Lord. Just as these Ephesians heard, came to an understanding of the truth, believed, were saved, and ultimately were sealed, so too can we. Romans 8 verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. We have been adopted into the family of God, and as adopted children, we have access to the inheritance, and we have the privilege of calling God Daddy. Romans 6 verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This inheritance is not ours because of some goodness in us or in some great accomplishment on our part. We deserve to die, but a merciful and gracious God offers us this gift. Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The book of the law can help us to understand how we ought to live, having obtained the inheritance. If we meditate on it and do what is written in it, we will enjoy the 10-10 life of abundance. 1 Peter 2 verse 5. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. In the previous verse, Peter identified Jesus as the living stone. He's living because he was dead and now is alive. We will see in the next few verses that he's called the stone because he's the cornerstone of the house of God. Now Peter includes believers in the metaphor. Like Jesus, Christians are living. We once were dead spiritually, but have been made alive by God's grace through our faith in Christ. We may die physically, but our resurrection is already secured by God's promise. Christians are stones as well, set aside for a specific project. God is currently building us into a spiritual house, a dwelling place for himself. In this new temple, made out of the people of God, each of us also serve as priests. 1 Peter 1 verse 4, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. As children of God, our inheritance can never be lost. It is imperishable, it can't die. Undefiled can't become corrupt or broken. And unfading can never lose its value. Our forever inheritance of limitless worth is being kept right this minute in heaven for us. Father, thank you for the inheritance that is ours because we are your children. Help us to accept your free gift of salvation. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.